This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz. This program is sponsored by New Zealand Bridge, sponsors of Grassroots Bridge across the nation.
Welcome to the Bridge Zone. You're at the table with Barry and Mariana. Some results from the Kelly Pierce, and it looks like our young guns that are heading overseas, Barry, still sharpening their pencil, seems to be working out for them.
So the winners were the Fraser-Hoskin team, Jeremy Fraser-Hoskin playing with Zachary Yarn, Lysandra Zing and Tim Pan. A huge win in the last round, and the Grant team did them a favour by beating the leaders.
Runner-up, Murray Wood and Rochelle Peltman, and Yuzhong Chen playing with Herman Wan.
The Queenstown Pairs was held over the weekend as well. They had a big field, 20 tables, pretty good. The winners were Lindsay Glover and Peter Hall from Harry Shepherd and Kevin Scorapata. Whangarei had a teams event as well, won by Duncan Badley and Paula Bowie, playing with Fuchsia Wynn and Ian Barrington. Nice. Runners up there were the Brown team, which was Hamish Brown, Go Tislevol, Jerry Chen and Andrew Liu.
Well, the Bridge Clubs will be looking at hosting their lessons for the 2025 year. We just got a little pamphlet down here in Mosgiel. The Tyree Bridge Club is starting their lessons. It's a nice little flyer. Hamilton have some good numbers.
Yeah, they had 23 on the first day's lessons. They do the same lesson twice a week. My understanding, they were expecting about 28 for the second one.
Very nice.
What is everybody else doing around the country? We'd really like to hear from you. What sort of numbers have you got to your learners class? BridgeZoneShuffle@gmail.com.
Yeah, I wonder if they're all reaching out and using the NZB resources that there's available for them. It's all free. They've got a big pack that has tables and signage and flags. It should be a really good resource to use. I wonder how many are using those. If you could tell us if your club's doing that.
Lots of clubs do things their own way, and the NZ Bridge trying to help out by having this resource available, make things a bit easier. Speaking of New Zealand Bridge, have you checked out the
new website?
That's what I was getting to, yes, the revamped website. You've got a few people finding it a bit hard to navigate, but I guess that's just a few teething problems.
What's so hard about it? What do you think?
Well, things that used to take one or two clicks to get to seem to take about six. maybe there's an easier way. I don't know. And if you want to look at I know we were trying to look at the tournaments to see how many people really... It is quite difficult to find that info out, whereas you used to find it in a couple of clicks. Maybe we're doing it the hard way. I don't know. Most people on the match committee couldn't figure it out. But however, hopefully it's going to get better. They did say to expect a few problems and that it should get better.
Oh,
have you been on there lately, Mariana?
Yeah, I'm having a look at it right now. Seems to be okay by the looks of it.
Okay, well, if you're on there now, I'll use you as my guinea pig.
Okay.
I want you to go into the Hamilton Restricted Tournament and tell me how many entries there are.
You have to tell me what date is it.
It's April the 6th.
One click, load more. So at the moment, can't see any at the moment.
Yeah, well, that's the problem. That's the problem we had. I have figured out a way to find it out, but it takes a lot of clicks to get there.
If you register, maybe.
You've got to register, and then you have to click in and get your home page. And then when it says tournaments... Don't click that button. Click the button that says search.
And that'll you're wrong. You're wrong. All you have to do is click register. 22 pairs so far.
You run a tournament like this, and there's not many from nearby clubs playing. Likes of Cambridge and Morrinsville and Huntley and Te Awamutu. There's not many entries at all. So we've got people coming from New Plymouth.
They must be bringing Albert, Carlo.
Mount Albert, Papatoa, East Coast Bays. Auckland, Franklin. I don't know what you need to do to attract them to play these things.
Pretty good. $25 for all the tournament. Not too bad for an 8B.
I think that's probably one of the better priced ones. I know they tried to keep it low to attract people. Still, as I say, not many local people wanting to play in it. A bit disappointing for the Hamilton Club. So I guess we still got another week to go.
Rubber Bridge season is coming up. Got a great prize pool at the National Congress that gets played there at night. If you can hear this, you need to get your entry in. It is fun. It's played at home. And if it's too far to travel, there is an option of playing online. You've got, a month and a bit to to have a think about it, find a partner who wants to do that. Oh, I quite like it. I know that you're not a fan.
Have you got one? Have you got yourself sorted with a partner?
Yep, Barbara Daly and I are doing our annual knockout. I like it. Last year we got to the semi-final. Now tell me, what is the reason that you don't like rubber bridge?
I have no idea how the scoring system works, and I can't be bothered finding out. I guess I just think it comes down to luck of the cards, really, rather than when you're playing duplicate bridge or teams bridge or anything where everyone gets the same cards and you're competing against people with the same cards as you, which I think is fairer. But that's just me. Obviously, there's a lot of people that like that rubber bridge, and more power to them. And if they can get people playing it, it's a good thing.
That's the type of bridge that Zia likes to play for money, is that right? The big money game overseas.
In some places, they do play rubber bridge for money. And I guess if you want to play for money, it's probably quite a good game because I guess you play some players that are not so good. Yeah. And if you're playing for money, and the old saying, there's certain people you'd really like to play them for money.
We're back talking with Jake Andrew, a board member of Bridge New South Wales. Jake,
Oh.
do you actually do online lessons as well?
Some do. Quite a few teachers find that challenging. Many
Okay.
teachers feel that it's really hard to teach absolute beginners online. They prefer to do it in person. So that is something that we're looking at. Some clubs do offer that. That seems to have more modest uptake. It does seem that face-to-face has quite an advantage. We've got a challenge, though, when we've got these small clubs across New South Wales in a small country town, and they don't have the skill to teach. And so, can we do it online? But then you need to have players who can get over the tech barrier, and you need to have a very small group. I think teaching online absolute beginners when you have a large number of people is quite challenging. You can't walk around the room and realize someone's
No.
got an issue and have a private conversation, or realize that someone's got a sound or video problem. And there are some challenges which we've got to figure out how to overcome.
I
Online.
actually just did a course with Real Bridge about teaching online. I only
Oh, yeah.
finished it last week, I think.
Teaching
Yeah.
beginner online?
Beginners
Oh, I didn't know there
online.
was such a course.
They are a fabulous outfit, Real Bridge. Nothing is a problem. If you don't understand anything, you can always go back. You can have one-on-one, you can have group sessions. It's a trial that I'm doing. I'm sort of fiddling around with a project of mine about taking bridge to schools, to secondary schools, in particular boarding schools, where you've got a captured market and you need to grab these young minds while they're on their phones, probably. If they've got nothing else, if they've finished their study and everything, they've got a bit of time and they're on the phones, well, I reckon it's a good market to be able to get in. So it's a little baby project of mine this year.
I
So,
was in boarding school and I would have loved that.
yeah, I reckon
It's sensational. Yeah.
anything to do on their phones, I reckon, would be a hit.
I wish I had really got into it when I was that young. I
Yeah,
was
true.
playing cards, but I had no idea in hindsight.
I mean, I do think that we could do a lot more online, as you say, like even just the tournaments we run in New Zealand. We do get a few Aussies playing in our tournaments too, by the way, Jake.
I have played in a couple of New Zealand tournaments.
Oh, okay. Yep. There's things you could do to improve them because I sort of feel like you get to the end of the tournament and that's sort of it. It's a little bit of
Everyone
an
disappears.
anticlimax, if you know what I mean, when you get to the end.
Time with Jake flew past so quickly. He actually had to take off, and we are looking to chat with him real soon.
Thanks for coming on, Jake.
Thank you. Talk to
Okay.
you soon.
New South Wales. And if you're listening from Australia, find us on the ABF website. Select marketing right down to the bottom of the page. Click on the link to hear the latest podcast of the Bridge Zone.
You got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away, know when to run.
One thing I was going to ask was making a site bid. Is there a tip that you can give to someone who actually wants to cycle or when they're in the right position to cycle? What on earth is it all about?
Look, I would say the vast majority of New Zealand bridge players aren't interested in cycling, will probably never cycle in their lives. It's not something that you get taught. There's no books written about it. A psychic bid basically is a sort of a bluff bid something you haven't got and hope that it puts the opponents off bidding to the right place. But the snag with it is that you're not allowed to have an agreement with partner that you can psych. So partner's got to be totally unaware that you're doing this. So when you respond one heart to partner's one diamond, when you've only got two hearts, or when you even might open the bidding with no points in a suit that you haven't got any of or whatever, partner is going to be totally unaware of it. If somebody does psych, they take a big risk.
Yeah.
Some people might argue, well, there's two opponents to fool and only one partner. The odds are 2-1 in my favor. Look, doesn't come with any guarantees. And I'm telling you now, if you psych and partner bids because they believe you, it can get pretty ugly.
Okay.
I hardly ever psych. I wouldn't say I never psych. It tends to be something that youth players do. When I was young, I might have
left,
tried
right
it a few
and simple,
times.
Wasn't it? Yeah, yeah.
Well, it happened a bit. A good player told me once that if you do psych, so this, you can call this my tip for the week if you like. If you ever do decide to psych, even if you just do it once, make sure everybody hears about it. And the benefit is, even if the psych didn't work, when you're playing against people later on, if they've heard about your psych, they won't be too sure whether to trust you or not. And that can't be a bad thing.
We're following on with Barry's tip from last week. What have you got?
I was talking about psyching. I don't know whether it's a really good idea to talk about it on the show, but why not for those that are interested? So I was reading just the other day, some guy said, if you're going to psych, a good time to psych, well, not a good time, but maybe one of the better times, is when your partner's already passed and you're third in hand and you haven't got very much and you pretty much know the person on your left's got a big hand.
Yep.
If you're not vulnerable in particular, if you're ever going to get a bit frisky, this is the time to do it. And when I say get a bit frisky, the best thing to do is get a lot frisky, right? I reckon the less you've got, the more chance you've got of a psych working out. If you've sort of got 9 or 10 points but really haven't got a bid, then, you know, you can't be sure that the opponents even have a game on. But if you've only got a few points, like less than 6, well, there's a pretty good chance that the opponents have got game on. So maybe that's when you want to try something. You know, and you see these people opening a week 2 on a 5-card suit, or even preempting to the 3 level on a 5-card suit, or opening at a 4 count, doing all sorts of things. The less you've got, the more chance you've got of the opponents having game on. So you can afford to go a few light, particularly if they don't double you.
Yeah, that certainly puts a spin on it.
Less is more.
Maybe that's what you can do, you know, on those 0 to 5, and you think, oh, I'm not going to participate very much here. Well, here's your opportunity, people. Go in, boots and all.
If you do it regularly, of course, it becomes a bit of a partnership understanding, and your partner's going to have to start alerting your opening bids when you're third in hand, saying, look, partner's liable to get up to all sorts of things when they're not vulnerable and they're third in hand. But I mean, even though I might consider it more than a lot of people, you don't get the opportunity that often, really, for that to happen. I mean, opening with a 9 or a 10 count third in hand is not even considered a psych, really, because you're not that far away from having an opening bid. You're just opening a bit light third in hand. So that wouldn't be considered a psych. It's got to be something that is a gross misrepresentation of your hand, like opening one heart when you've got like a 3 count or something. And maybe only 3 hearts.
Yeah.
Or maybe only 2 hearts, or maybe only 1 heart.
Is a preemptive bid at the 4 level, say in hearts, and you've only got 3, 0 to 5, is that a psych, or is it just a very bad preempt call?
Yep, that's not considered a psych. Well, I was going to say it's not really a psych if you have the bid you open with, but if you've got a really bad hand and you open 1 heart on a 2 count with 5 hearts, well, that would be still considered a psych, even though you've got hearts, because a gross misrepresentation of your hand. You know, nobody's going to expect you to have opened on a 2 count. So, yeah, there's psychs and there's psych. Third in hand, I reckon a lot of people get frisky third in hand. Vulnerability matters, of course. It can get pretty ugly if you get wrong. And I think the worst thing that can happen is when you open one of something and the hand on your left overcalls one no trump, which defines their hand pretty well. 15 to 18, balanced-ish, with a stopper in the suit you've opened in. Their partner knows exactly what to do usually, so it hasn't helped you. The worst thing that can happen is when you open and they get to overcall a no-trump, and your partner's sitting there with like a 9 count and they double them, and you think, oh my God, now we're in trouble. they're going to make this. So if you're going to try a site, just be aware that sometimes you have to pay the price and it doesn't always work out well by a long stretch.
I don't know how many people do it. If you've done it recently, let's say 2025, 3.5 months in, have you site this year? If you have, let us know. FridgeZoneShuffle@gmail.com.
If you intend to site this year, let us know as well and we can look out for it.
Faiakine. Coming up next is Judge Jolly.
Hear ye, hear ye. The court's in session. The court's in session now. Here come the judge. Here come the judge.
Morning, Judge Jolly.
Morning.
This you week, Mariana's going to ask the questions.
Oh, no.
Your turn, Mariana.
Okay. Well, the question I have is that sometimes when you enter a tournament, you walk on in and there is no seating plan. And then at other times, there is an actual seating plan. So why is that? And when you're heading into a restricted tournament, how would they seed that?
Okay. A seating plan is about ensuring that both sides of the room, the north, south, and the east, west,
mm-hmm.
are represented evenly across the field. Because when we are playing against the people sitting the same way as us. Mm-hmm. I know we played physically against the people the other way, but our scoring has been compared with everyone sitting the same way.
Yep.
So we want everyone sitting north-south to be approximately even to everyone sitting east-west.
Okay.
And that gives us an even field. Now, the downside of this is that we don't know how anyone's going to play on a given day. And sometimes we have things that are erratic, and particularly when the Upper Northland, the Waikato, Auckland thing have restricted, where no open can play with another open, and you have new partnerships involved with the open players and the lower grade players very often, then seeding becomes a bit of a toss of a coin in right. some way. So there are several ways that people do this. One is by rating points. When you get the entry, you get the rating points, and you can simply go by the rating points as to what these combined rating points, what the seeding is, and seed that way. Downside of rating points, you have some good players that don't play very often and they have bad rating points, they throw the whole thing out. Michael Courtney, when he was over here living in New Zealand, when he first arrived over, he had no rating points in New Zealand.
Right.
And he represented yeah. Australia. So yeah. when he got seeded by his combined rating points with his partner, it was a mockery of any seeding system. So one of the ways, like with all the congresses we have in that coming up, we can sort it by rating points, but then we need to go through and adjust it. One of the very easy ways that people do when they're not certain is simply have reserve tables. You'll go to a tournament and you'll find like 4, 6 tables are reserved,
okay.
and you get the north, south, and the east, west to sit at those tables, toss a coin, and you have an approximate seating. And then in the second session, very often that they'll have the top east-west playing second east-west and top north-south playing second north-south, and starting in those positions for the second session, where you've got the results from the first session to determine who the best and worst players are.
Okay.
All right. So there's a lot of ways we can do it. We can do it by looking at it and seeding the field to try and provide a relatively even mix. And this is really sort of up to how people are performing as well. Or we can do some rough and ready seeding by rating points and adjusting slightly for anomalies. Or we can have people start with each other. Like the walk-ins on our congresses, people that are friends tend to play in the same sessions as each other. So they actually seed themselves pretty roughly by sitting down and starting with each other.
Oh, right.
Right.
Yeah.
There's various ways of doing it. You'll find Patrick often looks at the room and he will move some people around because it looks very uneven.
Okay.
Okay. Generally, I don't know a lot of clubs do. They don't know the people that well, or they're a bit nervous about how to do it. And rating points provides a nice, transparent form of allocating the ranking of the players, but you really do need to keep in mind that you have to check for the anomalies in any seeding system.
So the rating points is probably a good starting point, but you might need
Absolutely.
to make some adjustments. Yeah. And of course, entertainment for the players is when, somebody's having a bad day and they get their seeding wrong. It's very entertaining for the players to see that and say, oh, look, Julie seeded them and look at that, we finished well.
Well, some people insist on seeing the list of seeded, what the seedings are.
Yep.
And they can do it themselves. You can go on and you can see that. Well, I don't know about the new website, but the old one. You can go on and you can see the
Oh,
entries, and
right.
you can go and do it yourself. You don't need to put up a seeding list. And personally, I don't see why you have to.
Because it's entertaining for the players when you get it wrong.
Oh, I'm down there. I must be an anomaly.
Yeah, okay. We could go around and put a big A next to their
Yeah, we
name.
could.
Anomaly.
I can think of some other A words that we can put on people.
Like you said, Julie, though, I mean, it's impossible for the director to know who's having a good day or not. It doesn't matter
That's
where.
right. So things can change, and these multi-grade where you've got different, depending on where you come from, certainly where you've got different graded players playing with each other that might not normally play, just is a really, really difficult thing to do.
Oh,
But
I think
you do want to have the field approximately even, all
the upper
right?
junior section would be quite hard.
Well, yeah, the thing is, like, Hamilton's coming up with one of these, and I don't play in Hamilton, so I don't know the junior intermediate players that well. But then I'm sure I'll get a lot of local knowledge from people that are not too far away from me on screen at the moment.
Like Mariana says, when you've got a gold grandmaster playing with a novice, and you've got to seed those, and there's two intermediate players that have been playing, then you've got to decide. It's got to be difficult.
And the other thing is, and how much they play. I mean, Waikato Bays have a pair that do very well in the intermediate interprovincial for years, but they never played any other tournaments, and they were intermediate. That was because they didn't have any rating points because they didn't play any tournaments, and that was their choice. You do get anomalies that you do know about. Teams in Swiss pairs are easier because it seeds itself with the way that we have Swiss pairs and Swiss teams where you play and then you don't play those people again. You play people in the same place as you in the draw. So Swiss pairs and Swiss teams seeds itself by the number of rounds and who you play. So that you don't have to worry anywhere near as much.
It appear, like you mentioned, that some of them jealously guard their intermediate status to the point where they are looking to see how many B points they've got at the end of the
I
year.
think in all fairness, with the recent stuff with New Zealand Bridge, reviewed it and they've changed it slightly, so it is different to what it was for a while. But at one point, if you played tournaments, you would become open, and you can't have the top open players and the bottom of the open field are so disparate,
Yeah,
right? So,
agree.
when you go to Australia, you've got four grades because of population, and that works well. And New Zealand's only got three. A lot of intermediates really don't want to play against top open players.
It seems harder now to get out of intermediate into open, and that's probably a good thing, I
I
guess.
think so. And the other thing is, you can tell by the intermediate junior tournament, right? Because people stop playing because they, as you said, they don't want to go into the open. Because it's just an impossible step for a lot of people. People that are keen and enthusiastic are going to do it anyway.
You could still argue, of course, that those people that are right at the top of the intermediate grade that are knocking on the door of open, it's a bit unfair for somebody who's just come out of juniors into intermediate to have to play against those people.
It's
Either
sort
end of any
of,
scale is going to be disparate.
but the open is incredibly disparate.
But that's why they introduced restricted open grade. We don't see a lot of just that.
We don't have it as an official grade in New Zealand. Congress, we have it for Australia, but we don't have it as a grade for New Zealand.
I don't know whether there'd be enough people in that grade.
Well, that's part of the issue, isn't it? Roughly 80% of players are junior. A lot of club players never ever play tournaments. 15% are intermediate and 5% are open, which is what they looked at when they rearranged the grading system. I don't know what it is now because it's been redone and I haven't really had a look at it. That is sort of because a lot of people just don't play tournaments or only play a little.
If we went with those figures, and Judge Julie said it, so it's gospel, if we said 80% junior, 15 intermediate, and 5 open, if we looked at restricted open, Mariana, it's probably going to be like 1 or maybe probably
1%,
not even
yeah.
2%. But
Yeah, well, the question is, of the junior, right? How many play tournaments? Because we're talking about the whole population. What we need to look at when, if we're looking at different grading, is that we need to look at the tournament playing population, not the complete bridge playing population.
Yeah.
Okay, to give yourself an idea of how you want to draw the lines in the sand,
Yeah,
right?
that's right. And so,
That a really
like you
difficult
say, of
job.
that 80, that massive 80% part, what
Yeah.
would we say? 60% of them don't play tournaments, but I
Well,
don't
quite possibly more. That is where the issues lie. And we're a small population.
know.
True.
And how do we support having a fourth grade in around the country? I don't know what the tournament playing population is, but it is a key problem for a introducing a fourth grade is who is actually playing tournaments in the country.
That would explain why, when you all that you're saying, wow, only 5% of the population are open, and yet look at all these people entering our open tournaments. We just have big fields. That 5% plays a lot of tournaments. 15% of intermediate players, probably not so much.
Well, we're getting more. Whatever they've changed has absolutely improved tournament attendance for the lower grades,
It has. It has.
right? So whatever they did, great.
Now, I just wanted to confirm to the listeners because they're probably thinking, how do I check out this rating that we were talking about earlier? Anyone can check it out by jumping on to the Excel sheet, and that brings up all the names, where they're from, and the ratings instead of having to go into every individual that has entered. Well, thank you for
Right.
that.
That's all
Awesome.
right. Have
Good.
a good day.
Good week.
You too.
Yeah.
That's all we've got time for this week, Barry.
Okay.
See you at the table.
Bye for now.
New Zealand Bridge, sponsoring bridge from beginner to international nationwide. This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.